All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. April the 20th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great for wherever you are at. Sunny, sunny morning. A little chilly. It is Monday morning. It's 7:30. It's early. Got up early this morning. It is that time of year. Been trying to go to bed early. Yeah, really trying to, I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm trying to do, but went to bed early last night. Got up early this morning. Got a lot to do. I have one of those days I have a lot to do, but not a lot to do, right? I got some loose ends to tie up. We've got to pay the tax people, of course. That's always fun. Got a huge water bill for my dad's house for some reason. I'm not sure. Maybe a toilet was running. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I went over there last night to try to figure it out. I'm going to have to call the water company today and find out what's going on there. Just, a few things to wrap up today on this beautiful Monday morning. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I thought I would come upstairs, see if I can get back into the podcast hustle and sit down and chat about a few things. I've had some interesting days. I went to a few meetings. I went to a meeting on Friday, and then I had the meeting that we have here at my house on Sunday. Both terrific, both interesting. I was at a meeting on Friday. Not a big meeting. Same meeting I go to every week. 9-10 guys, pretty small. I appreciate the meeting. That's the meeting that we were doing, basically when we came back from the pandemic. We were doing it at a different location, and then we had to move. And we had really not a great turnout for that meeting at that point. That was when my buddy was running it, and I stepped in to help him. He was pretty burned out on trying to carry it. And so I started doing the commitment, and then we moved to a new location, and we started getting some people coming to the meeting. And then, I really pressed for trying to find some people to take the meeting monthly, right? This guy who had been running it, great guy, no issue, but he had sort of put it all onto his back. And I'm not going to get too far into why or what that was about, but it is what it is. And, I said we need to try to get more people signed up, right, to take this commitment monthly so that each person can find people, and that's how it seems to work better. And we finally have gotten that kind of going. And I went to the meeting on Friday. A buddy of mine was leading it. He had I think he still might be grabbing people in the parking lot, which is fine. It's all good. But I ended up sharing, and the guy that spoke, it was interesting because he was talking a lot about the second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And of course, sanity came part of the topic. And, I'm at this point in my recovery where I typically share. If I'm at a meeting, I'll usually share, not because I love what I say or want to hear my own voice, but a lot of the times, nobody's sharing, right? It's pretty chill, and, sometimes it just takes a couple people to share that kind of get it kicked off. I know for me, I do enjoy hearing a couple people share before I, add my two cents or my thought. And, I shared, and I'm sharing, bop da doo doo doo. And my buddy looks at me and starts tapping on his watch. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's been many situations where people have ran on forever and I felt like tapping my watch, but I just say, it's fine. I did have that incident where that lady wouldn't stop cussing and I just left the meeting. He starts tapping his watch and I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. And he's like, no, you can keep going. I go, no, I'm done.
There's a new sun rising. I can see. Ambrosia.
Heard of them before? That's old school. Biggest part of me. But yeah, he shushed me. He shut me down and gave me the old tap on the watch. And I was like, you know, I have to, it's not that I forget. I'm pretty clear on this. This program and these meetings and, you know, sharing, it isn't about me. It's about, number one, staying sober, and two, being there for the next alcoholic. And, you know, I don't particularly find myself being a long sharer. But, you know, who knows? You know, maybe I was talking too long. I don't know, but it sort of got under my skin a bit immediately, right? Old thoughts, you know, excuse me. But it's, you know, it is that. It is exactly that. It is not about me. It's about recovery. It's about other people. It's about helping the next alcoholic. And even though it sort of got under my skin, I had to let it go. And I did not shake his hand after the meeting. I was still a little hung up on it, and I've been thinking about it a little bit. But the reality is I have to keep telling myself, it's not about you, man. It's not about you. And then, of course, I met with my, you know, I sponsor a couple guys, and we meet. And then at that meeting on Friday, another guy I know was just starting to drop the rock, because we started reading Drop the Rock together, and he was getting ready to start. I said, why don't you come join us? And so those two guys and then that guy, three of us and me, sat in my office and read some of Drop the Rock and chatted about it. And it was great. And then after the meeting, my one of the guys I sponsored said, can I talk to you about my fifth step? And I was like, sure. And so everybody left, and then, you know, we went back in my office. And then he proceeded to tell me, he's like, you know, basically, I got a new sponsor. And once again, right, this is not about me. This is about recovery. This is about being there for the next alcoholic. And whatever helps them is what's important. And I was like, of course. And he mentioned a couple things that were personal, which is fine, that seemed to be more based on his decision. And I was like, you know, man, I go, listen, whatever you need to do. I'm not, you know, this isn't about me. It's about, you know, you staying sober. So, of course, whatever. And I remember, you know, and it is a funny subject, sponsorship, changing sponsors, right? You know, I remember when my first sponsor, Ron M., told me he's going to be my temporary sponsor. And then asking Mike R. to be my sponsor not because I disliked Ron M., it's because I really liked what Mike R. was saying, and I liked his recovery. And, you know, and of course, I was like, I can't, how am I going to tell Ron M., right? Ron M., all that he's done, and I was so torn up about it, and I finally did it. And, you know, I think it was probably appropriate. I'm sure my intentions or my thoughts or reasoning was probably not great, but it is what it is, and we grow. But I just remember I was very tormented over it and finally did it, and it all worked out fine and there was never any issues. But, you know, it's emotional. It's a tough thing. And I could tell when he told me yesterday that, you know, in so many words, because he never really said it until I said, are you getting a new sponsor? And he says, yeah. And I said, great. Inside of me, I was a little like, what? And I could have probably, you know, and I've heard of situations where guys are like, I'm going to get a new sponsor. And the sponsor's like, yeah, no, you're not. And, I'm not into it. I'm not that guy. I'm always just here to help. And even when I met him, I said, listen, I'll be your temporary sponsor. I sort of took him like Ron M. took me, but I always use the word temporary because honestly, as a person, I know as I grew in the first couple years, as my buddies growing in the first couple years, as everybody grows in the first couple years, you know, I had this idea of what I thought was, you know, recovery and life, and, you know, more would be revealed, and it is a journey. You know, I have a sponsor today I really don't talk to. I talk to him at meetings, and I force myself to call him because I don't. You know, my sponsorship journey has been pretty interesting, and my last sponsor, Matt, who passed away, was a huge part of my life, and he was very, very difficult to replace. In fact, he'll never be replaced. And in fact, that's what I kept telling myself when it was time to, you know, eventually find another sponsor. But I kept saying, you know, who am I going to find that's going to replace him? And I finally found somebody, and he's been great. But, you know, I talk to him. We talk every once in a while on the phone, and then I see him at meetings. And but there's just not, you know, I'm not going through the steps. I'm not doing a lot of stuff. So we just chat just because the voices in my head tell me it's not important to call. So that's why I call. But, you know, so it's been an interesting couple days. You know, I got the watch tap because I was talking too long, and I got dropped by a sponsee. And, yeah, you know, I think I've been thinking about it a little bit, and I really, really like this guy. And, you know, the personal reasons, which I won't mention, they are personal, and I could see that being a thing. It wasn't necessarily about me. It's sort of who he is and how this other guy may fit in for that sort of situation. But, you know, these are all just sort of things that really have nothing to do with recovery. I think later on they'll figure that out. But, you know, like I said, it's always about the newcomer, you know, staying sober, staying in the program, being there for the next person. It isn't about me. I've always said I can just sort of go through the steps. And honestly, I know for myself, I've always questioned, am I a good enough sponsor? Do I do this correctly? Am I, you know, I've heard people say we need to get through the steps in the first 6 months. I don't know. There's always some crazy timeline. I've been doing this for a long time, and I can look back at my journey with this pressure to get it done, and you know, especially with the, I mean, honestly, I don't even know if I had any idea what any of these steps meant when I first came in. You know, my sponsor, Mike R., he sort of walked me through the steps, and I guess I nodded my head a lot, and I must have written some things down. But when it was all said and done, I don't think I had any clue on how these steps worked. And it just takes time, right? I just had to keep coming and coming and, you know, having some ups and some downs and, you know, having situations where peers call me out and start to understand. And it was a slow process for me, you know. But a lot of people want to come in and get it done really quick. And I say, okay. And then, of course, I look at myself and I'm like, am I doing this fast enough? And so, you know, there's part of me that's like, phew, good. Now I don't have to worry about it. But he texted this morning, good morning. And I'm like, I haven't replied. I'm sort of a little salty about it. Not that I should be, but I am human. So we'll see how that works. But yeah, it's been an interesting week. And the meeting I went to on Friday was great, even though I got the tap on the watch. You know, like I said, the guy that spoke shared, and it really sort of kind of came around the second step. I don't know if it was our digging our heels in and when it comes to God. A couple of people talked about the insanity part. What I shared was, you know, just because I stopped drinking does not give me a green light to have a relationship with God. It just doesn't. I thought it did. You know, I've shared multiple times, right? I've come to this program because I had a drinking problem, or at least that's what everybody said. At least that's what they asked me at the emergency room. But, you know, over time and multiple sponsors and you know, hanging in there, you know, I've learned it's not a drinking problem. This is I don't care problem. And, you know, I've said before, however many days that it's been since I've had my last drink, 6,000 something days, you know, it's not the last time I lied. It's not the last time I cheated. It's not the last time I stole, right? But still, under that umbrella of that coin of, you know, recovery time and, you know, look at me, I'm doing great because I have this coin, or look at me, I'm doing great because I've behaved for the 60 minutes that I've been at this meeting. But, you know, putting down the bottle is not the green light to all of us have a one-way conversation with God. In fact, when I got sober, I was like, I'll do all this, I'm not, except for the God part. You know, I've never had any success with God, and why should I care now? But, you know, over time, I've come to this you know, God is peace, love, and free of fear, and the book talks about it. And, you know, you go to enough meetings and you work with enough people and you read these things over and over. And, you know, for me, I started to understand, right? 10, 15 years maybe into recovery did I start to finally understand what the third step meant, right? And my, you know, and many were powerless over alcohol, their lives have become unmanageable, clearly is a huge deal. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity is a huge deal. But for a guy who had done what he had done and lived how he had lived and then finally abruptly hit the brakes and was yanked into a program, none of that stuff made sense. And then to the third step, turned our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of religious sort of hints at religion in those first three steps. And I was like, I'm not here for the religion, so I don't know if I paid much attention to any of it. And then always having that fourth step looming over that created fear and worry and, you know, the whispers about the fourth step and how hard and tough and how important. And immediately, you know, I struggled with that. But, you know, having a sponsor that almost did it for me, like everything and that had to do with education or something like that, someone had always done it for me to get me through. And it was almost like a repeat of high school. And then to, you know, of course, sit down and share only the parts that I thought that were important because the rest of them was either too embarrassing or I didn't see how it would be relevant. And then, you know, 6 and 7, who the fuck knows? And then who the hell knows by that point? But, you know, coming back into the program and starting to understand, you know, my life today really exists in that third step. You know, on a daily basis, the third step is what I sort of live in. Right, making better choices that reflect in my life, which in turn reflect in the amount of fear and stress and worry and anxiety that my decisions have made. And over time, making the right choices, the less the stress, the less the fear, finding this God of my understanding. I've always said, God found me. I did not find God, even though I searched, right? And, you know, it's been incredible, but it is, it has been a process. And it's hard to explain, and I guess I had trouble explaining it because I must have talked too long because I did get the tap, and, you know, immediately God was out the window at that moment, and self had jumped in and became annoyed, right? I'm just glad that, you know, and of course I wouldn't say anything, but I don't know. But it is, you know, just because I stopped drinking doesn't mean that I have this relationship with God. And, you know, I had to start, you know, reminding myself what it is that I actually want from God. Because my early life, early, I won't say early recovery, just my early part of my life, anything that I sought through a relationship with God was only to make my life easier. Right? Lottery number, right? Give me the winning lottery number, God. Give me money. Make it snow, God, so I don't have to go to school. You know, help me get a girlfriend. Whatever it was always some weird kind of prayer, hope, ask from God that, you know, turns out for me, at least in my life, that's not what God does. You know, for me, and I've said this before, God is a byproduct of good living, at least in my life. You know, the life that I lived prior to getting sober was very, obviously self-centered, drugs, alcohol, carrying on, and it created fear and worry and anxiety, and that is no relationship with God, I can tell you. Oh, it's funny, I just got a text from my sponsor. Very cool. But as I've come, you know, through the steps the second time and slowly, you know, like I said, 15 years started to understand the third step, and I always say it, those damn Joe and Charlie tapes, but they really, they changed my whole perspective on that third step, because I didn't understand how that step worked. Came to believe, no, turned our will and our lives. I didn't understand that. But when they said thinking and action, I was like, oh, I can start to understand that, because I made a lot of bad choices. And like I was sharing with the guy yesterday, it's just because I didn't care. I couldn't think it through. Or if I did think it through, it was always for, you know, the benefit of me to do what I wanted to do. Not like, oh, who's going to get hurt in this action? And then I started to understand if I make better actions, better choices, and they're reflecting my actions, then I don't have fear and worry. Right. And then I'm at peace. And I started to understand maybe that, for at least for me, is what God is. Maybe God is just that, peace. You know, I've said before, as long as I'm doing the right thing, I don't hear a lot from God. But as soon as I start doing the wrong thing, right, like not shaking that guy's hand the other day, and then afterwards God's like, you should have shook his hand, right? Would you get your feelings hurt, right? Who's this about? Right? Then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, all right. And then that conversation with God starts happening. You know, if I share something or I do something positive, God's not like, oh, look at you, how good you've done. Now, it's pretty quiet, right? I think being a good person and being a person of service to others is what we're supposed to do. You know, when my son cleans his room, of course as a parent, I'm like, oh, good job, right? I'm just so happy, right? But you know, probably if I excuse me, if I was a better parent, right, the kids are to clean the room, and I'd be like, yeah, of course. But I'm in like shock. Good job, man. Hey, thank you. But, you know, typically doing what we're supposed to do, it doesn't always require a thank you or a praise on what a great job I've done just because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. It takes a lot of work to be normal. But, yeah, it was an interesting few days. And I am grateful. You know, I know that my buddy who picked a new sponsor, I know it really bothered him, and he was. I could see it, and he wrote me a letter, and I appreciate it. And I'll text him and let him know that to have a great day, because I don't want him to think that if there is something that comes up that he needs to reach out to me or somebody else, and I'm always here. Right? I'm not going to have. It's a compliment. Right? It's a compliment, because honestly, he could have stayed into this relationship and been too afraid to leave, and then created other thoughts and issues, and nobody wants that. And honestly, I'm just a guy here trying to help. I am just the guy, like I've said, I've been to New York City by myself, and I've been to New York City with somebody that knows the town, and I had a much better experience when I went with somebody that knew the town. And so that's all I want to be, is just somebody that knows the town. Whatever journey or path that these guys want to go on, I always support it. You never know when they'll give you a call and have questions or just want to chat about something. And so, you know, I always want to keep that line of communication open. But it's just, you know, it definitely tested my ego and my pride. So that's what's been sort of going on. Maybe we can read a daily reflections here. Let's see. Daily reflections. I wonder if this will have something to do with this, all right? Well, it already starts off pretty obvious. Self-examination. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. You know, that self-pity keeps coming up, man. Self-pity has been a big thing that I've been going through. I've shared it in the podcast, you know, creating stories or situations that are bad, that I have to, you know, react to, which is all made up. It's almost like self-humility, right? Like, here to save the day, everyone notice. it's interesting. Self-pity has been coming up a lot lately. All right. When said sincerely, this prayer teaches me to be truly unselfish and humble. For even in doing good deeds, I often use to seek approval and glory for myself. Yep. By examining my motives and all that I do, I can be of service to God and others, helping them do what they want to do. When I put God in charge of my thinking, much needless worry is eliminated, and I believe He guides me throughout the day. When I eliminate thoughts of self-pity, dishonesty, and self-centeredness, as soon as they enter my mind, I find peace with God, my neighbors, and myself. That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm just a work in progress, right? I'm super grateful. I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. I appreciate you letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great Monday. Bye-bye. Let me-